Good afternoon and warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Vain words simply means empty words. In the world's eyes, they are called scams. We have been warned during this difficult time, there are people through the internet, through your handphone, they have made promises that they know are empty. They are vain words. A handphone that may cost you nearly $2,000, they offer you $400, $500. And based upon your greed, you think that what they say is true. The moment you send them that $400, $500, you will never see them again. You have been scammed. Their words are empty. That's the meaning of the word, vain. But we know that it is far more than that. Because when a man and a woman marry, they promise to remain married till death do they part. You made a business deal, you signed a contract, but you didn't intend to keep it. Your marriage ended up in divorce. Vain words. That promise of till death only will we part have been vain by your action. The business deal that never went through because you changed your mind. You broke your word. Whatever that was signed, whatever that was agreed, your words meant nothing. It was empty. You did not keep your promise. Empty words basically characterize the life of every believer. And empty words are also very powerful words because they have the power and the potential to appeal. To appeal to many different parts of us. In the case of the world, it's greed. You read in the papers of how many have been cheated. They promise you how you can get a very, very substantial return if only you would invest. Some years back, I read in the newspaper of an elderly lady who entered into a church. And then she befriended some other elderly people in that church. And then after a season of time, after winning them over by her nicety and by her friendly demeanor, she said to them that I have a very, very nice offer to make more money. You invest with me $1,000 within a couple of weeks, you can get $5,000. And so she invested, and true enough, within a week she got back $5,000, something to that effect. And then if you were to invest $10,000, you will get back $50,000. And so she invested. And then she invested more and more, to the tune of a few hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then one day, that elderly lady stopped coming to church completely. She disappeared from the face of the earth. That elderly person and others who were scammed by her, they lost their entire life savings of nearly $1 million combined together. Just because they are empty does not mean that they are powerless. There are aspects in our lives that belong to the old man that have not been permanently put to death. They can still rear its ugly head, and that's why in verse 7, be ye not. That verse begins by telling Christians in the church in Ephesus to stop something that has already been in progress. Some of them who had already been deceived by vain words. When this vanity of words are brought into the church, you realize that the consequences are not so much temporal. Losing money is the least and the least significant loss that you could ever experience on earth. It's only money. It's basically dead things. It's currency. Not only that fact that you can earn it again, but it is a very minor loss because it's dead. But what about people losing their time, losing their soul, losing it in terms of eternity? Not just for some temporal
earthly significance,
but eternal significance. Your time, you know, is not going to return once you lose them. Especially if you are a child of God, your time of service and witness and worship is fixed. Fixed by God. Every minute you lose, it's going to be gone forever in the entire spectrum of eternity. The spectrum of your time here on earth from the day of your salvation is one tiny little narrow sliver. That's it. Because eternity is so long and so wide, has no end. And therefore it is extremely precious to us. Because we know there is a limit to it. Time and time again, we keep asking God to extend it, right? Every time you ask for recovery from a sickness, it's basically it's an extension of time. So how many times have you prayed for recovery from a sickness? Well, that's the number of times that God has answered your cry and granted you an extension. What have we done with our time? Have we allowed people to scam us and we have lost a large amount of our time already? What about souls of men, women and children? Because these vain words are now encapsulated by a skin that is called Christianity. And so in the guise of Christianity, they pass forth doctrines, teachings. And in that context, it's not just time that you will lose. It's eternity in heaven or in hell. You're going to lose your eternity in heaven. If you're a sinner believing in a wrong gospel, that kind of vain words are deadly and dangerous. And so just because the words themselves are empty, so much so that if you obey them, it's going to result in nothing. But the fact of the matter is, it is very deadly. Empty but deadly. And so we have to first beware of this deadliness. How? You see, the deadliness comes from the instrument or the source in which the vain words originate. Do you remember in the Garden of Eden? Have you ever asked yourself, why did the devil pick the serpent? Why didn't he pick a gorilla? Fearsome, ugly, full of hair, the face is definitely not smiling. Why did he pick the serpent, which the Bible said it is the most cunning and subtle of all? The most beautiful of all. The most seductive of all. The most attractive of all. The instrument of the vain words. That in itself will provide a very, very high percentage of its potency. Do you not agree? Because we all have been deceived before. In one way or another, whether it is by the world, as you and I live in the world, or by someone in the church, even after we are born again. The instrument or the source from which the vain words originate plays a very important part in its potency to deceive. And that is why the Bible here begins by telling us, let no man. The emphasis is not so much on the deception. The emphasis is also not so much on the vain words, but no man. Let not a single soul, a single human being, that's the emphasis, not a single person deceive you. Now we all know that there are a lot of people in our lives. Some are very dear to us and some are just merely acquaintance and some are total strangers. What they say, what they do will have nearly zero impact in our lives. No, I say nearly zero because sometimes you listen to strangers on the internet from whatever sermon audio or some of these internet sermons. You don't know the person. You listen. And the strange thing is sometimes you just believe what the person is saying. You didn't check his background. You didn't check whether he is from a right church, properly trained or whatever. You just simply listen and you believe. Even though he's a total stranger, you have never seen him before. And it worked. because that's how they sell many things as well. They make, give you the impression that this person is a pastor, so they dress him up like a pastor. So if everyone wants to deceive you and say that this medicine or this whatever it is that is good for you to take that will help you lose weight, I will get someone who dresses like a doctor. Now whether he's a real doctor or not, you will never know. I just see people down here, he's an MD, doctor so and so. Have you seen him before? Never. Have you checked his credentials, whether he's really a doctor? No. You just simply believe. Wow, then he'll tell you this and that and a long list of other things. And then before you know it, your credit card comes out. You buy, you take, you brought back, you got it, you take. Nothing changed. You're just as before. It didn't work. You have just been scammed. The source, very, very effective. Because we are trained, we believe doctors, right? So we are all taught, believe doctors. Doctors are supposed to know about medicine. Doctors are supposed to be this and that. And so, they tricked us. And so the best way to deceive us using vain words from the doctrine perspective would be preachers, pastors, theologians. Not just any preachers or pastors or theologians, but preachers, pastors and theologians from the right church, the right Bible college or seminary. Right? Because let's say if I want to deceive people from Truth BP Church, where do you think the devil will send his minions to be trained? Singapore Bible College? No, it will not work. What about a Roman Catholic Bible College? No. Far Eastern Bible College? Sure. For this group of people in Truth BP Church, FEBC will be the best place. And so, the devil will send them. And so they come. And for your information, one family even stayed in our church premises on the third level, same level here, you know, just across the walkway. They stayed there. We did not know that they came from a church that is a cult. They believe in modalism, not the doctrine of Trinity, that God sometimes appears the Father, God sometimes appears the Son, God sometimes appears the Holy Spirit. And so the whole family, they enter into FEBC, they have nowhere to stay, and so since they study in FEBC, we allow them to stay here. And their purpose, their aim, and their agenda from that church, that denomination, that I think you know of it. You may not know the name, but if you recall, when the COVID-19 broke out, you know, there was one Korean church where the pastor refused to divulge the identity or the name list or the directory of their church on how to find out who their members were who attended the church and so on. You remember that incident? Now that's the church. And their modus operandi is to send their people, and they are very rich because their church is huge in numbers, send them and infiltrate them and be very nice and become part of them. And then if a church like Truth were to bring them in and accept them and they make them pastors, and little by little, what do you think will happen? What do you think will happen? They will control the leadership, and then they'll begin to speak their doctrine little by little. And that's what they did. Two of them, at least that we know of, we are told, came into FEBC, signed all the documents that you want them to sign concerning statement of faith, whatever. One of them came out in the newspaper in Singapore. Thank God in the newspaper they did not say that he studied in FEBC, but he was an assistant pastor in a Korean church in Singapore who was arrested because he took photos that were bad, under the skirt photos. He was arrested, convicted, went to jail, came out, deported. It's real, in other words. What I'm telling you, it's not make-believe. And so if they want to come in, they will come in through the door of FEBC that you will accept. And when they come in, whatever paper qualification you want them to have, they have it. And they will sign whatever statement of faith you want them to sign, they will sign. Because that's exactly what they do. You see how scammers do it. They are going to do it in a higher level, in a spiritual level. And what they sign, you can't tell whether they believe it in their heart or not. Your eyes are already glazed. You have already lowered your guard because you think you are safe because it comes from a safe college. We accept all students because they are students. They are not teachers. Teachers, we are very, very guarded and very careful. But students, we hope that through their attendance in the college, they would be convicted and converted. Obviously, not everyone will be converted. So just because they are from FEPC, please do not just simply just go through the motion and everything is okay. Just because they're studying in FEPC doesn't mean that you can invite them into your fellowship to study. Please understand that. Talk to us. And then we will give you the advice. Talk to the leaders. Whether this person is okay or not okay. Because that's how it works. Let no man. You think the devil doesn't know that we are people that are very socially oriented. We make friends. We like people and we like people to like us. So that is one of the ways. From a theological standpoint, and the other way is obvious. They come in as wolves in sheep's clothing. Sheep's clothing, where the emphasis is sheep's clothing. And that means they will be very nice to you. They will help you. They will give you money when you are suffering financial needs. They will visit you in hospitals. They will go to your homes and they will buy you nice food. And they will massage your aching feet. And they will say all the sweet words to win your heart. That's how it works. That's why the Bible says that no man. But the devil will try. And if that is not enough, I'm not sure whether you remember the warning in Deuteronomy 13 when God says to the people of Israel, if your son or your daughter or anyone were to whisper in your ears, don't worship Jehovah. Worship other gods. What are you supposed to do? Of course, as a father, as a mother, you convince them, please, stop this nonsense. But when they are already teenagers or when they are young adults, you know it's a losing battle. Their mind is already made up, their heart is already stony hard in that direction. You have lost your opportunity to shape and to mold them, and now they are telling you, I want to marry this unbeliever. Why don't we worship another God? Because that's exactly what it means. You know that, right? Deuteronomy 13 says, you report your child to the elders. And once the elders have confirmed, separate yourself from that son, that daughter of yours, and all your friends and family members and citizens in the same city that you live in, will stand behind you. As you stand in front, you bend down and pick up that rock, and they will bend down together with you, and all of them will be holding in their hands a very sharp piece of stone, a rock, miniature size rock, and they all will wait for you to cast that first stone. It's your son, it's your daughter, it's your child. And the moment you put your hand back and you cast that stone, everyone will cast the stone together with you. And you're going to see how your child will be sentenced to death by his wrong doctrine. That's how serious it is, because the entire witness of Israel is at stake. You don't stop it there, the family will be converted. And if that family is not destroyed by the city, very soon the whole city will be converted. And if the city is not burned and razed to the ground and destroyed, the whole tribe will be affected. And if that tribe is not destroyed, then the whole nation will be affected. And the witness of the nation of Israel dies. And the whole world will be plunged into sin and spiritual darkness and death. And the light of the witness of Jesus Christ is switched off. All because the Father did not expose that son. That's Deuteronomy 13. That's the warning. The instrument of the vain words is the key. And I'm sure you know from your own memories and experience that it has happened. Vain words. Nice people come in, deceive you, scam you. Vain words. And some have been deceived and they have left the church. And some of them not only left the church, they have left the faith completely. Vain words. Your church, Truth BP Church, came out of a battlefield. Vain words were slipped in by your own pastors, previous pastor of your previous church. The Bible is perfect in the past, but no longer perfect today. Very cunningly crafted and packaged. They did not deny outwardly, they don't believe the Bible is perfect. I believe the Bible was perfect sometime in the past, but not today. And you know how many believed? You know that. You have fought that battle before, especially those who have been there from day one of the birth of this church. Those of you who have participated in that battle, you know that the potency of those vain words depend on the instrument or the source. And it is still true today. Loved ones, family members have a very strong pull over your entire being. Let no man deceive you. You look at the face of your son, your daughter, that's the face of a deceiver. Would you be prepared to recognize that? Or you just simply see the tears, the cry, the tenderness of your son, your daughter? Please, mom, dad, let me marry that person. Please, mom, dad, this is a good doctrine. I helped you before with thousands of dollars. Now that the leader is disciplining me, will you help me? You feel beholden. Will you take my side? So many ways to turn empty words into potent, powerful instruments of deception. The source, the instrument that God uses. The God of this world, I mean. Very cunning, very clever. And it is so powerful that He continues to use it today. He has not changed. Why change or destroy something that works so amazingly, the devil would argue? Is it working right now in some of your decision making? Is it working right now? Is it one of your struggles right now? You know, and the Lord knows. Let no man deceive you with vain words, is the counsel from the Lord. The devil will use whoever that you love the most to increase its potency to its maximum. If you are truly born again, you will not lose your salvation. But that does not mean that the other party will not. That doesn't mean that your son, your daughter will not. You know there are no grandchildren in heaven. Only sons and daughters. And therefore, not only must you beware of the instrument or source, you have to beware of the consequence. Beware of the consequence. That might help you. That might help you hold on to your love and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And really let no man, not even the one that you love the most here on earth, deceive you with vain words. Whether it is your wife or your husband, your son, your daughter, your pastor, your elder, doesn't matter who. Let no man. Look at the consequence, second half of verse 6. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now the wrath of God simply means the anger of God. The children of disobedience simply means children who disobey. Now does it include the Christians? Or does it only refer to unbelievers, referring to the consequence? Right? Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, the anger of God. Can we include Moses when he disobeyed the Lord in this statement? Because we know that whenever anyone disobey God, when you sin basically, the anger of God, the wrath of God will come upon that person, regardless. He is no respecter of persons. You know that, right? God made that very plain and clear. No respecter of persons in judgment. Not even for a man like Moses, who had been serving the Lord so faithfully for the past 39 years. And then one final moment when he was nearly at the end of his mission, he could even see the end of the mission. He got upset, he got angry, he was frustrated, and he smote the rock twice when God publicly told him, only speak to the rock. And for that, the anger of the Lord was upon him, and he was chastised. And the penalty was, and the consequence, you could not complete the mission. Joshua will now take over, even though your health was not an issue, because his eyes were not dim and his body was still very strong, even at the age of 120. God would not give him any health, personal reason as an excuse to legitimize his incomplete mission. You can't hide behind, for personal reason, I step aside and now Joshua will take over because I'm too weak and I'm too old and my eyes can't see very well. God kept him in good health and strength to let us know and to let him know. Don't you dare use your health issue as an excuse. You suffer the consequence of your disobedience. But when you look at the context of Ephesians chapter 5, I beg your pardon, you realize from verse 1 onwards, which Elder Chu read for us, you realize that it was with reference to fornicators, those who are unclean, they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, which was the end of verse 5. And so therefore the children of disobedience here, based upon the immediate context, has to refer only to unbelievers. And so God wants us to think, let no man deceive you with vain words, you think of their consequence. You think of what will happen to them. The wrath of God will come upon these children of disobedience, including yourself. Because if you're truly born again, why would you want to invite the wrath of God to come upon you when you should know better and get yourself out of it? That's what this impact is. A truly born again believer would knowingly know the consequences, he will avoid it. You see a hole right in front of you. You're going to walk into it or you're going to step aside. God now tells you that these people, they are going to die in their sin. They're going to end up in hell. And they're going to find themselves in the fiery lake one day, in great torment, everlasting torment of pain upon pain upon pain, and wave upon wave of fire and brimstone, because it's in a fiery lake, right? There will be waves upon waves upon waves will wash over them, and the pain will keep on being experienced by them without any, not a single moment of ease. That's what they are going to receive from God when they die in sin. Do you realize that? Do you really understood what that means? So much so that you still want to be deceived by your son and your daughter and approve their marriage to an unbeliever? Because if your son, your daughter really understands what it means to be a child of God, he will not want to marry an unbeliever. Do you realize how serious that transgression is? That you would treat it lightly? That it is okay for you to participate? One BP minister was voted out of church because of no confidence in him. For the simple reason was that he accompanied his daughter who married an unbeliever at the ROM. He won't allow her to be married in the church. But he participated in the wedding by being a witness at the registry of marriage. And for that, rightly, justly, he was removed. And he should be. Because it was a serious transgression. Don't play with sin. Children of disobedience literally mean children of disobedience, regardless of the transgression. Remember the sins that we committed against each other is also a sin against God. And the sins that we commit against God caused Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to suffer so much pain and shame that you and I can't even imagine what's it like for Him to endure all those terrible, horrible treatment from sinners that He came down to save. They wove a crown of thorns to mock Him and force it down His head, whereby His face would be covered in His own blood. They did that to Him because of your sins and my sins. Do you know that? The Son of God, who was so safe in heaven, had to take on flesh and blood in order to endure such shame and pain. He did not take on the flesh and blood for anyone else but us human beings. He did not come down to save angels, because He did not take on the form of angels. Hebrews chapter 2. He came down to take on flesh and blood because of you and me, flesh and blood. Why would you and me, who have tasted and experienced God's forgiveness in Christ, want to deliberately transgress and hold on to sin? No one would want to do that in their right mind if they are truly born again in Christ, having experienced how can my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved me so much, who suffered so much pain and shame in order to deliver me and wash me of all my sins, how could I hold on to such filth? Never will we deliberately want to. Maybe out of ignorance we did not know better. But now that you know, you must, for that person's so sake, because the wrath of God will come upon that person who is now a child of disobedience. And you have to let the person know, if you really love that person, think in terms of eternity, not some kind of false peace that you enjoy in your own home because you condone that marriage, because you participated in that marriage or in the business or whatever it is. You may enjoy 20, 30, even 40, 50 years on earth of some form of peace with your child who is now married to an unbeliever, and now your grandchildren will also be a big question mark, because they are not coming to church. And even if they do, your son and your daughter, they have already set a terrible example to your grandchildren. If mom can marry an unbeliever, if dad can deliberately marry an unbeliever, why can't I? And you know your children, their parents, your grandchildren's parents, your children, they have lost the moral authority to correct their child. If that child was to marry an RC, a Roman Catholic or a charismatic or someone else, an unbeliever, you yourself marry an unbeliever, you want to tell your child, no, stop the relationship. Your child will just turn around and say, Mom, Dad, you did the same. You know you dare not even say those words to your own child, because you are ashamed. Ashamed. Please think of the consequence. We are talking about heaven and hell, dear friend. May God put the fear of heaven and hell, the consequence of it, into our heart. If you really love that person, you want that person to end up in heaven. You never, never would want that person to end up in hell, right? You really love your son, you love your daughter. If they be angry with you for 40 years on earth, let it be so. If by your holy witness and testimony, God will one day show mercy to that son, that rebellious daughter or son of yours, and save his or her soul. That anger that they hurled at you because you did not attend their wedding, you have nothing to do with their disobedient, unholy wedlock. It will be worth it all. Because you think in terms of the consequence, not the earthly consequence of them angry with you. They will be disappointed. But don't you be moved by their tears if they were to beg you. Don't you move at all. Let no man, means no man. And to give you the extra conviction, you think of the consequence that will fall upon them, because you understand that the wrath of God is real. And the consequences is eternal, everlasting torment in the fiery lake that burneth without end. And that soul will scream and yell and scream and yell and scream and yell forever and ever and ever. That's the consequence. that you must never ever forget. I wish sometimes my vocabulary would be sufficient and my use of the adjectives in the English language would be good enough for me to describe what hell is like. And you and I know that no matter how many adjectives that we will use to describe it, it will never be close to the real torment that the person will have to endure and experience. We know that. And that's why beware of vain words from every direction. Those who are closest to you, those that you think are safe, are the ones that you must be most careful of. And always remember the consequence of what our action will do to others. Because you are the child of God. The image of Jesus Christ is upon you. And what you accept will be the same as what Jesus would accept in the eyes of the people who look up to you. And what you reject will be the same as what they believe to be Christ's rejection. Because they look up to you. They see you as someone who knows Christ. They see you as someone who knows and will do what is right. And therefore, do what is right by remembering the consequence of what will happen to us, that many will be stumbled, and that person in particular will find himself or herself in hell. But you can do something about it instead of ushering him all the way into the abyss by your failure to do what is right. You know that, right? By being deceived by their vain words, you are basically ushering them very quickly into the abyss, the darkness of fiery hell. That's what you are doing by your action, because that will be the consequence to them. But to you, you become an instrument where the devil will also pat you on the back, because you will become the instrument that he will use. He will use a lot of his own people, the people of the world, and make them pretend to be believers so that they can slip in as wolves in sheep's clothing. But he will be far, far more delighted if a real sheep, not a wolf in sheep's clothing, but a real sheep, one who is truly born again, becomes his instrument of deception or instrument of stumbling. Do you realize that? Vanity of words are more than just doctrine. Vanity of words could also include gossip and slanders. And the slanders and the gossips that will do the greatest damage to a person's spiritual well-being would be against teachers and preachers of God's word. I know people will remain in church if they are upset with a congregation member, a fellow congregation member. They might even remain in church, a sound or good church, even if they disagree with a committee member of a fellowship. They just quit the fellowship, but they remain in church. But the moment they are upset with an elder or some leaders, especially the pastor, they will leave. And so when you slander or gossip, and the target is the pastor, that will do the greatest damage. You know that, right? In that person's entire spiritual well-being and that of his family, especially if you target the head of the house. Not only will he leave, he will pick his whole family and they all leave together. And I've seen this happen again and again in Pandan. And these people will not bother to confirm and get the other side of the picture from the pastor. They just simply believe. Why? because this person is my friend. This person, I know he's my friend. I believe him. I don't have to check, even though he may be the culprit. I believe he's my friend. I'm not sure whether some of you recall or know how some years back we had one ordained minister ordained by us. During one of our gospel meetings in the Mandarin congregation, he was the preacher, and he screened on the wall of our main sanctuary, below the words, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness," a 7-minute long colored video clip of pornographic material. Colored naked people, naked women, and it was horrible. And he showed that twice during the sermon. And the amazing thing was that some of our session members were present and they did nothing to pull him down and stop him right there and then. They allowed him to complete it. And I did not even know about it until after sunset gospel hour. No one told me. And I was angry when I found out that no one said anything. And this man, when he was commanded, forced by the board of elders the following Sunday, he was supposed to speak again. We took him out and we asked him to apologize. And instead of apologizing, he was justifying, making excuses for himself. Even though I could not understand Mandarin, I knew an excuse when I hear one. Because how long does it take to say, "I am so sorry"? 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and that was it. He stood up there for nearly 4-5 minutes. So at the end of it, I asked our elder, what did he say? Making excuses, trying to justify and explain. What was his explanation? "I want to show all of you how sinful sin is. I have already told him. You want to show the congregation how sinful sin is? Preach the Ten Commandments. That's why God gave us the Ten Commandments. What you have done is not to show them how sinful sin is. You have caused them to sin." One of the elderly folks went up to the elder and said to him, "I have tried my entire life to avoid such nonsense. And now that I have watched it inside the sanctuary during worship service, please teach me how to erase it from my memory." And of course, when we were about to discipline him, he resigned from church, he resigned from everything. Then he left the church and he joined another church. I wrote to the elder of that other church and explained to him what this person did. Because this other elder went around telling people that what this ordained minister did was no big deal. And so when it came to my ears, I wrote to him personally and asked him, "Did you say that it was no big deal what he did?" Then he said yes. So I asked him, "Did you check with any of the session members? I know you did not check with me. To ascertain, to see for yourself, to find out. Have you watched the video yourself?" "I did. Forced to. I don't want this ordained minister to come back and tell me that. How do you know that it is bad? You have not seen it yourself." Because he told us this was the best of the worst. He did some kind of research. You mean how many hours of pornographic material that you went to the website to research and then you pieced this together with background music? That's what he did, with background music. I asked the other, "Did you see the video?" "No." "Did you talk to any?" "I said, no." "Then why did you say that it was a no big deal, it's a small matter?" "Because he's my friend. He's my friend," he said. My friend. Consequence. Think of the consequence. The devil will use friendship, relationship. That's why the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." What they say sounds so sweet and so good. And friendship and a lot of relationships will turn something that ought to be objectively evaluated into something that is so subjectively accepted. And you forget about the consequence to yourself and to the other person. And therefore, God's warning is, beware of your partnership. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. That is why the first part is children of disobedience is only them. But the moment you become partakers with them, that is, make a partnership with them, that means you agree with them, you may not have sinned their sin per se. But because you condone it, you agree with it, you give them the semblance of acceptance and you agree, even in the slightest. God says you have become a partner. A partner in that transgression. That's why you can actually know a person by his association, by his partnership. You never want the devil and his minions to say nice things about you. And so if those who are the enemies of Christ and enemies of the Bible slander you and call you all kinds of terrible, terrible names, you thank God for that, you know. Did the enemies of Christ not call him Beelzebub? And did the Lord not Jesus comforted the disciples by telling them, if they call me Beelzebub, you are supposed to be my faithful imitators, disciples, right? You're supposed to imitate me so that you will be like me, exactly like me, so that by your words, by your actions, they will see Christ in you. And if they call me Beelzebub, should you be surprised that they call you Beelzebub too? No. No. But if the world say nice things about you and they praise you and they condone you and they pat you on the back, you have a real problem. Because the Bible's warning is, if the love of the world is in you, the love of God is not in you. Why would the world love you when the world crucified your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And if you are bearing a holy witness for Christ, you think the world has suddenly switched over and become a very holy, all lovey-dovey, all the world people out there are all Christians? That's the only way the world will love you. They've suddenly become Christians, and you know that has never taken place. The prince of darkness is still the prince of darkness controlling the world. The god of this world continues to blind the minds of those who have rejected the gospel. That has not changed. So why do you want the accolades of the world? Why do you want the world to pat you on the back? Why do you want the favor of the world? Why do you want the world to say nice things about you? Unless you are not a child of God, if you are truly born again in Christ, then beware of your partnership. Or else, you will be deceived by vain words. You're like, we all like to be told how good we are, how nice we are, right? Do you want to appear in the newspaper as some very, very nice person? Where the world will give you this award or that award, where the world will recognize you for all these wonderful good deeds? Do you long for all these things? Do you aim for these things? Do you work hard for these things, the approval of man? Well, bear that in mind. When you seek the approval of man, you're going to get the disapproval of your God. And that is why the warning is stop. Stop. Stop being partakers with them. And the only way, if you have already condoned the marriage of your child to an unbeliever by your participation, the only way right now is to go to your child and say, Mom and Dad made a big mistake. We should never have sinned against God by participating in your marriage. It is a sin. That's the only way to salvage the bad situation. No other way. The child will be hurt because of what your child did. Now the child realized that they caused mom and dad to fall into sin against Christ, against God. They should feel bad. They're supposed to feel bad because they have sinned against God, the God that you have introduced to them since they were born, through the Sunday school, through the many, many lessons that you have taught them at home. And now they turn their back on this God and you have partaken their transgression by being present. And the only way to save the situation after your repentance before God is to go up to your child and say, it was a big mistake. We should not have attended. We have sinned against God and against you. That's the only way to fix it. And for those who think that the doctrine of the perfect Bible is a small matter, you really, really do not know the meaning of a small matter. By their own action, you know that it is not a trivial matter. It's a small matter, they would have left FEPC alone. They spend hundreds of thousands of dollars getting lawyers to sue us and to destroy us. Small matter, why would they take all the trouble? It's a small matter, just let us live. Let us preach the doctrine of the perfect Bible. It's a small matter to you, right? Just leave us be. If it's a small matter, why would they force Reverend Timothy Toh, who was their pastor for 50 over years, choose? We will let you hold on to your ministry if you believe the Bible is not perfect, has mistakes. But the moment you believe the Bible is perfect, go. Small matter, why would they do that to him? It's a small matter. On one hand, they say small matter. On the other hand, by their action, it's a humongous matter. Because they know in their heart of hearts, the God they believe in is not the same as the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible, again and again, through many, many Bible verses, the word of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Again and again. Not one jot and tittle of my word will pass away, even when heaven and earth passes away. That's how secure, that's how perfect the word of God is. You cannot separate the perfect God from the perfect word. But they tried. And how did they do it? FEBC graduates, BP ministers, using the same Bible that we use. You see how clever, how potent, and how many have become partakers? How many? And if you did not rise to the occasion right there and then and speak up, why did you keep silent? Why did you not stand up and defend the honor of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because they undermine him and they attack him and say that he makes mistakes. If his words are mistakes, his entire character and being is now tarnished. He's just like you and me. You realize that, right? How can that ever be a small matter? Is it a small matter when you submit your thesis for your final graduation and the examiner come back and say, oh, your paper full of errors. Grammatical error, spelling error, full of errors. Fix it or else you fail. How would you feel? You get upset, right? Your examiner is very concerned that such mistakes should not be there. And it's only your words and it's only for what? Graduation and get a piece of paper. Worthless piece of paper. That's it. And your examiner is very concerned. And you leap over it, if you don't correct it, you won't graduate. I'm sure you will correct it. And it comes to God Almighty, the Word of God has mistakes. That means your gospel that you preach comes from a Bible with mistakes. Doubt the gospel. Doubt every doctrine. Every doctrine will now be questioned because the whole Bible has mistakes. And then for them to deceive you even further, their vain words, oh, only in names, places, and numbers. They have mistakes, but all spiritual truth, no mistakes. How would they know? When God says, when I inspired my word, God said, all scripture. He didn't say all spiritual scripture. All scripture, excluding names of people, places, and numbers, are God breathed. He didn't say that. He said, all scripture, full stop. God breathed. God has no different levels of inspiration, less inspired, more inspired. Inspiration is absolute. And if God cannot be faithful in the least, according to them, how can God be faithful in the much? That's his doctrine. And now they say it's okay. And the people foolishly believe. How would these people know, honestly? Have they seen the original? No, they say it's destroyed. Then how would they know that the mistakes are only in names, places, and numbers, and so on, and not in spiritual things? How would they know? Do they have the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Do they have the keys to hell? They have absolutely no idea, but the problem is, people just simply foolishly and blindly believe. Beware of vain words. Note the source. Remember the consequence. And don't be a partaker. Because then you will end up being a transgressor yourself. And why would you want to do that to your own soul, to your own witness, that you have spent so much of your time and your energy to protect and to defend and to ensure that it is holy. Why would you want to sully it and stain it by sin deliberately? And so God says, be careful who you associate with. Be careful, for your witness is at stake. The name of Jesus Christ that you are privileged to bear is at stake. And therefore, beware of vain words for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, open our eyes that we might see. Deepen our love for Thee, that we will truly love Thee with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And with this love for Thee, teach us to love our neighbors and ourselves, always in truth. We pray, O Lord, that You will defend Your people against the wiles of the devil, especially when the devil uses vain words. Help us first and foremost to be well studied in the word of everlasting life, that our knowledge of God's holy word is deep, strong, and secure, so that we will have the discernment that we need, and to see vanity of words for what they really are, empty. And grant to us the discernment and the courage and the love for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be deceived by any man, no matter how much that person may mean to us. May it never supersede how much Jesus Christ must mean to us. And help us, O Lord, to remember the consequence that will fall upon that person that we claim to love, always remembering that the wrath of God will come upon all children of disobedience. And may we be careful to protect our holy witness by the person that we associate and partnership with. For we live in the last days, O God, and the devil will increase in his momentum to deceive as many as possible to join him in the lake of fire. Help us therefore, as thy blood-bought children, while there is still breath in our bodies, to continue to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, and to have the filling of thy Holy Spirit, so that we will have the discernment to beware of vain words. Hear our cry, O God, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.